can you hear me? Hello? Good morning. Lord have mercy, it's been hot out there, but thank you for a cool breeze, Lord. Is it warm in here to y'all? I'm a little warm. I'm always warm, though. I got a lot of insulation on me. When I heat up, it takes me a long time to get cooled down. So, Father, Lord, I just pray that you would fire me up today and that I would take a long time to cool down. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall on each man, woman, and child in this place today. Father, that we might learn from your word how to be still, how to spend time with you. Lord, we thank you that for the life of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for all of us, but through his life while he was on earth, we can learn lessons on how he coped with a schedule that was unrelenting. He still found time to be with you. So, Lord, I just pray that that we would come to understand and know that if Jesus needed time to be still with the Father, that we needed also. So, Lord, I just pray that these scriptures and the teaching that you've laid upon my heart today would strike a chord with these ladies and these gentlemen, that we could keep the most important thing the most important thing. So, Father, we just ask it that you would be glorified today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and I we've been in this is a, I have to follow Nathaniel, and it's kind of hard sometimes. He does such a wonderful job. And but the theme of our teaching here for the next few weeks is going to be on being still. You know, and that's hard for some folk, isn't it? I know it's hard for me. I just saw Julie walk in here, and I every time I see Julie, and I remember and see her dad. If you all know Jerry Roberts, I don't think there's a time where I haven't seen him with his foot just a going, just a tapping, and there ain't no music playing, but he's a doing it. You know, it's hard for us to be still, isn't it? And I just, something occurred to me when we were back there and we were listening to the worship music. And the topic and the theme is to be still. Not necessarily to be quiet. Amen? Because we gotta do both sometimes. We gotta be able to discern the Holy Spirit when he wants us to be quiet and to not speak. But there's also times that he wants us to speak. But there's also times when he wants us to be quiet. Jesus in his ministry, we see him doing a lot of teaching and a lot of preaching and ministering to people. But then he also took time out to be with the Father. You know, and I think that's very important. And so many times we don't do that. And as I was looking over the scripture verses that they gave me to teach on, I thought, well, Lord, what are you trying to show us through these? Because there's 15 verses here that we've got in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 35. And, you know, and I was quickly glancing through this, and the only thing that I seen anything about being still or anything like that was when Jesus was addressing a demon, and he told him to be quiet. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? You know, but as we go through this, and I'm going to expound on some of these verses as we go, but that wasn't what this teaching is about. It wasn't about addressing demons. It was just to show how busy Jesus was. And we're going to go through the first few verses here, and we just noticed, you know, in the first chapter of Mark, that he just got through calling his four disciples, Simon and Andrew and John and James, and Then they went to, it says in verse 21 that they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went to the synagogue and he began to teach. You know, now Capernaum is a significant place because it was a growing city and it had a lot of wealth there. It was a fishing area, and it, along with that great wealth, because of all the commerce, there was also great sin and decadence, because it was also the headquarters for a Roman garrison there. There were a lot of Roman influences there. Along with that, a lot of pagan influences that came into that area. So it was an ideal place for Jesus to speak, not only to the Jews, but also the non-Jews about the gospel of God's kingdom. And another thing that kind of struck me when I was reading and studying was, you know, the Jews would make a pilgrimage to go to Jerusalem to worship, but a lot of these outposts in these towns where these people were spread out, Jerusalem was a long ways off. So I think it's in, around 450 B.C., I believe, that they started allowing family units, 10 family units, to start a synagogue in their town or their villages. So they would come and they would have every little town that had 10 Jewish families that could start a synagogue. Well, they had synagogues sprouting up all over the place, but they didn't have that many rabbis or teachers. So what would take place is they would have a leader, all right? And they would have people come in and they would teach from the scriptures. And then a lot of times they would quote from a well-known rabbi. And, you know, they would teach that way. And it wasn't really because they were so powerful, but they thought that well-known rabbi, his words would have more power and authority, so they would quote him. So we see Jesus going into this synagogue, and, you know, he's starting to talk to the people, and says that the people in verse 22, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. You know, they like I said, they didn't have any permanent rabbi or teacher, so they would quote other rabbis, and they said, well, this is what Rabbi Hosea says. You know, Jesus didn't need to do that. Jesus was God. He had the ultimate authority. He didn't need to quote some other rabbi. He knew the scriptures because he was the Word. Amen? He was the Word. And it says in verse 23, just then, in that synagogue, there was a man who was possessed by an evil spirit, and he cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And in verse 25, Jesus sternly spoke to the demon, and he said, be quiet, come out of him. And take note here that Jesus didn't speak to the man. He addressed that demon. The man didn't have any control over the demon that had possessed him. You know, I was thinking about that as I was studying. I remember Nathaniel's teaching a long, long time ago, and it was out of Ephesians chapter 6, and it talked about, you know, our battle not being against the flesh and blood, but about with the powers and the principalities of this dark world. And he made this statement. He says, if the thing that you're battling has a face, then you're battling the wrong thing. And that really struck me because it's so true. We don't know what people are being controlled by and influenced by. We have no idea what their lives are a lot of times, but we want to judge them, and we put their sin, their face on the sin. Amen. We're supposed to love people, hate sin, right? We see Jesus not addressing this man, not condemning the man. He addresses this demon, be quiet and come out of him. Well, in verse 26, it says, the evil spirit shook the man violently, and with a loud shriek, he came out of him. You know, even if the people in the synagogue didn't recognize the Messiah standing right before him, that demon did, didn't he? And he wasn't happy when he confronted Jesus, and Jesus with authority spoke to that demon and said, be quiet, come out of him. He didn't want to lose his happy host, or unhappy host, because I don't imagine that guy was very happy. He was probably miserable because of the demon possession. But when he had to submit, that demon had to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, he shook that man violently as a last act of fury and rage that he could throw on this man. He shook him violently, and he came out with a shriek, announcing his displeasure at having to leave. You know, and the people, they didn't know what to think about that. And it says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went, It says the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one with authority. And it says that after he spread or cast this demon out, he says the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching?" And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. You know, we forget sometimes that God is all-powerful. He controls everything. Nothing can happen by the demons. If you look at the life of Job, remember? Satan and Job, or God had a conversation about Job. And the only thing that I can take from that is God has power even over the demons. So they were all amazed, and they told people about it. And in that region at that time, little just popped up almost just one right after the other. Kind of, you know, like going to these suburbs in the major metropolitan areas. You know, you got Indianapolis and you've got, I don't know, what is that down south? Greenwood, that's the one I'm thinking of. Greenwood, Southwood, different ones. They got North Haven. Just a lot of little burgs right smack dab next to each other, and the word spreads quickly about what's happened here. And this is, by the way, you know, in Mark's account, this is right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, right? So word spreading quickly, and people are amazed at what they've been told, and they all want to see this Jesus. You know, and in verse 20 says, 29 maybe, it says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with fever, and then they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. And the fever immediately left her, and she began to wait on them. You know, and we know that Mark's writing this, right? But it says that James and John went to Andrew and Simon's house, and there Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever and in bed. So I guess it was just me. I'm trying to put four and four together. Well, how did Mark know about this? So he must have gotten maybe a secondhand story of what Peter had told him had happened. But the fever in those days, you know, you didn't go to the local market and get you some Tylenol to help relieve the fever. It usually lasted a while. And when Jesus took her by the hand and the power of God healed her and that fever left, that was pretty amazing to those folks. And as I was studying and I was thinking about the fever that she probably had at that time, and the most common was malaria. And, you know, malaria is a very serious condition to have. But that fever immediately left her, and she got up and started waiting on them, it says. And then you look at verse 32, you know, the synagogue, they left the synagogue, and they went to Simon and Andrew's house, and he got called on to heal the mother-in-law. So his work didn't end, did it? And in verse 32, it says, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon possessed. The whole town was gathered at the door. You know, and you have to understand something. At sunset, they had just left the synagogue, right? And at sunset that evening was the end of the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, the Jewish people were not allowed to work, and they weren't allowed to do much traveling at all. So when sunset came, in order to not break the Sabbath, they waited. But when they heard about all that Jesus has done, here they come. The whole town, it says, went to Simon and Andrew's house to see Jesus. And they brought with them the sick people and the people that were demon-possessed. And in verse 34, it says, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. They knew who he was, and it wasn't his time for them to reveal it. Needless to say, Jesus had a full day. And, you know, these first 14 verses here go to show how busy his day was. People from the whole town had come to see him and to witness him perform these miraculous signs and wonders and to heal these people and to cast out the demons to those who were afflicted. I bet he was tired because he was fully God, but he was fully man. Amen. You ever get tired? You ever have a day so full and so busy you just want to lay down and be left alone? I got a little thing on meme on my Facebook. It says, I don't want to do any more peopling today. You reckon Jesus ever felt that way? We all get tired. You know, and a few years ago, there was a worldwide study done with 10,000 pastors all over the world. And they asked him one question. What is the biggest obstacle to your spiritual growth? You know what they said? 60-some percent, over 60%. You know what they said? Busyness. Busyness. You get pulled in so many ways, and they're all great, right? You're doing work in the ministry, and you're doing great things for God, and people are depending upon you, and you just get too busy, too tired to get alone with God for just a little while. But in verse 35, I believe it is here, we learned about the last 14 verses to get to this one in Mark. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, I don't know how early in the morning it was when he did this, but I'm thinking it was probably early because it's still dark, right? And I believe maybe the reason why he did that because everybody in the house was asleep. And Jesus could slip out without being detected and go and get re-energized with the Father. So many people were seeking him out that he had to get up early to get away, to spend time with the Father. And I was... brought back to a time in my life when things were really hectic and really busy. And it was the day that my son was killed, Christmas morning, 2003. And we had people coming, oh, Lord have mercy, Nathaniel. So many people came and they loved us and they loved on us. And I was just overwhelmed by the love and the support that we received from many of you guys, and I'm forever thankful. But when it was all said and done, I mean, I just wanted to get away with God. Christmas morning, the night before, we'd opened up gifts, and one of the gifts that I'd gotten was a CD. You guys remember the CDs, the Wow CDs? They had the worship songs on them. I'd gotten Wow, 2004, for a Christmas present. And when everybody else went to bed, I got up and I got in my truck and I drove out to the Conservation Club Lake where me and my boys spend a lot of time camping out, and I just need to get away. Because I showed you guys a strong side. But I wanted to get away with God and just be with him, one father to another that had lost her son. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't have words to even talk about. But I saw that CD laying on the seat of the truck. And I plugged it in. And some of you guys that are here, the young adult men, had went through a class that we had at our house called Experiencing God. We learned that God speaks to us through many ways, right? He speaks to us through scripture. He speaks to us through songs. He speaks to us through other people. And when I plugged that CD in, there was a song that came over. And even when I didn't know how to pray, this song was my heart to God. You know, and it brought me to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words can't express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance of his will. And this song really brought that out. I didn't know how to pray or what to pray, but this song, I want you to listen to it. Chase, can you play it? This song was what I wanted to cry out to God. Maybe you've had a feeling like this before.
I have faith.
you're going to need Jesus. Through the hard days, and many of you have experienced those hard days, those dark nights. But we can't be recharged unless we plug into the power source. Y'all got cell phones, right? Y'all ever leave the house without your charger? You can't go a day without plugging into the power source. That night, by myself, God ministered to me through that song, and he gave me power to go through what we had to go through the next few days, essentially for the last 16 years, 18 years, I don't know. But you know, when you look at the life of Jesus, this account in Mark happened at the very beginning of his ministry, but then we see at the end of his ministry before he suffered and died, we see Jesus having a very busy day, that day at the Passover, right? He had just took his disciples up to the upper room, had a Seder meal with them, predicted one of them would betray him, another would deny him. Knowing what was going to happen in John 13, he says, knowing that he was came from the Father and he was soon returned to the Father, and having loved those who were with him, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And he got up from the table, and he took off his outer robe, and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he washed his disciples' feet. And then they got up after the meal, and he took some of his closest companions, and he went up to the garden, right, to pray, as was his custom. He had something hard that he had to face, and he needed to go talk to the Father. And he told his disciples just to stay here, and he went a stone's throw, the Scripture says, away from them. In Luke 22, it says that he knelt down in anguish, and he began to pray to the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. If it's your will, take this cup from me. He needed to be patched in to the Father to gain strength for what he had to endure in the coming hours. I say this to tell you that if Jesus needed to be patched in to the Father, how much more so do we need to be patched in to the Father? Just to be with him, to gain strength. You know, Jesus taught us many things, but in Matthew 6:6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And as I did that study on that, it was because many people lived in one house, but you know, and there was hardly any privacy. So, you know, you might have mothers-in-laws and siblings and your family and your children all living in the same house. And a lot of times if one of the family members got married, they would build, because they couldn't build out, they build up, so they would put a room on the roof, and that's where they would go. So it was very hard to find a place to get alone with God. But he tells us that we need to get in to a room, close the door. What that represents is just finding some place to be alone with God, with no distractions, where it's just you and him, and he can minister to you. It says then, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, I was sharing with Denise that I get beat up a lot. I remember the very first time I got beat up was by a six-year-old girl. I was five. I thought I could take her. I really did. I found out different. And she got me down, and she turned me over on my belly, and she rubbed my face in the dirt. And I was so humiliated, I ran home, and I told my daddy. Well, that's a habit I'm still in. When this world beats me up, guess what? I go run and I tell my daddy. Maybe you ought to, too. He's a good father. And you can't go through this life one day without it. Jesus couldn't, and we can't either. So as we start reflecting on our communion time today, just come together with the Lord. Let him examine your heart, speak to you right now. I don't know. I know your faces, and I love you. I really do. But only God knows your heart. He knows what you're going through, and he wants you to come to him. Remember what Jesus said? Come to me, all you're weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. You can trust him. So as we get ready to prepare for the time of communion, just allow God to minister your hearts. And if you need prayer, we're here. We're always here. So let's just pray, and we'll enter into that time of communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. And Father, we thank you for the time that we can be with you. And you want us to be with you, that you might strengthen us and empower us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we reflect on all that you've given us through your Son Jesus and the life and the death that he suffered for us, we remember his body that was broken for us, the blood that he shed that we might be forgiven. He was the Passover lamb for the sins of the world. So Lord, I just pray that as we partake of these elements today, that we focus on you and your goodness in our lives. And Father, we lay down any burden that we would have at your feet. We thank you for loving us so well and so much. We ask, Father, that through us, that you might be glorified. In us, to us, and through us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. After a time of reflection, there's elements on the four tables in the corners of the room. And if you need to talk to somebody, you want prayer.